The guy I'm giving the hard time to is SIU President Randy Dunn. First off, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you. And I think it just was the lake. As I drove over, you just kind of hit yeah, the wall when you got to Craneville, yeah. And that was it.
Because in the forecast, they said southeast Missouri, and more and more, I think these temperature changes may be just the lake. You know, there's a guy who wrote a book, and his name is Danny Cox. He flew for the Air Force for a number of years and then went on to a profession and things along that line. In fact, not long ago, 4 years, spoke at the commencement address at SIU.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there speaking. He wrote the book, Leadership When the Heat is On. And one of the items that was included in his book, which is, by the way, very good, was you still have to fly the plane. Said he was in the Air Force.
Yes.
You still have to fly the plane, even if the cockpit is full of smoke and there's something on fire, the plane still has to be flown. You can relate to that, can't you?
Well, some would say that's when leadership comes through. That it's easy to do these jobs when, you know, things are going along merrily and funding's good and you don't have any crises and that type of thing. So I think there's some truth to the fact that that's when you see real leadership. Now, I'm not saying I'm the one demonstrating it all the time, but I do have this belief that the best leadership comes through when you're in those situations. And I see it with a lot of folks on campus. And as I talk to my colleagues at the other universities, I think there's a lot of it on display right now.
Do you see a realistic plan in Springfield that might, because I know you stay in touch and you've got groups up there working on your behalf, and do you see a glimmer of hope out of one of these higher education plans?
Well, you know, as we were talking during the commercial break, I may be a little more optimistic than you, Tom. I don't know that the specific plan is nailed down yet, but I can tell you there's a level of nervousness on the part of a lot of the elected officials that it's time to get this figured out, particularly for higher education. And that may not be gelling into the exact plan yet, although we've got three or four proposals floating around out there. At least one bill has been passed, is going to be sent to the governor if it hasn't already.
That'd be the $3.8 billion.
Right, we'll see what happens there. But there
and
are a couple.
This is interesting because the Senate approved that veto majority.
Yes.
House did not.
House had 65 yes votes. They'd have to have six more to get to a veto-proof majority. But as things continue to crumble away for the higher education infrastructure, maybe there would be the possibility to pick up a few votes if there's no other vehicle out there. But the problem is that's not probably going to come back for a veto override for some time. Now, I can predict everything but the future is my old line. There is some speculation. The governor's already said he'll veto it. There is some speculation that he might set on that and not issue the veto for the 60 days that he's allowed, where you can tack on 60 days to the calendar here and see where that puts us. May demand a special session to do the veto override. So the timing on that is not the greatest, although it does give us a good level of support. So
but
you've got a couple
also,
of other fixes out there.
My
right
understanding
now
is speaking
about.
With, I think Mr. Bradley and Mr. Phelps, that in this $3.9 billion package that the governor can go through and go, I'm not paying that. Let that legislation and funding go through
absolutely.
And take out the things he does not want.
Yes, if he's concerned that that's too rich, he certainly has the ability that he has all through the entire administration, and that is to take these budget bills that come to him, use his red pen, if you will, get things the way he wants them and send them back and see if they stand. It's also the case that in Illinois, the governor is not obliged to fund everything that the budget gives him authority for. So if there was a cash flow issue, there is the ability to pull back ensure that enough operating funds are available. You don't have to send everything out the door if the budget calls for it. A governor has that authority. So there is room to maneuver there if the governor desires that. We're also seeing, as I mentioned, though, a couple of other smaller bills, fixes, patches. One we're not real keen on. Another one maybe has some possibilities. It could be that a couple of these short-term or stopgap bills that are floating around now could get blended together into something that might carry us through, in one case, to August 31. another round of discussions is saying put something together to get us through to December 31. So what the vehicle is exactly, I don't think anyone knows yet, or maybe just a couple of people in the state know, and they aren't saying for sure. But I do absolutely sense, perceive that there is a sufficient level of crisis among our elected officials to know something's got to get done soon to push a little money out to higher education to keep us on life support until the grand bargain is figured out later on.
And, of course, you're not alone. University of Illinois email that was released by the news media yesterday saying do a body count, how many people are out there. And then, of course, the thing is, will there be layoffs? The head of the union there, 3,700 local, said they told us there'd be no mass layoffs. But things continue. I talked yesterday with Steve Brown,
yes.
The spokesperson for Mike Madigan,
yes.
Who you know, he's on the alumni board.
Yes.
You know, he's saying, we can get this thing done. But you know, talking University of Chicago, what a beautiful campus. They got a 25% graduation rate.
Right.
I mean, we had a lot of failures around us if we were looking at that.
Well,
Nevertheless, here's my argument. You got 25
though,
seconds to go on.
Here's my argument. So Chicago State has much improvement they can do, just like most of our universities. They can build these metrics. They can do better. They need to. I don't argue that. However, this is still providing access to 4,000 students for higher education. These are not students who are going to pick up and come to Carbondale to go to school, by the way. It's an on-ramp for them. They're non-traditional. Most of them have families. They're plugging away. Part of the reason, and I'm not here as the defender for Chicago State necessarily, but you know, part of the reason graduation rate is so difficult up there is there are a lot of students like there, not unlike who we have at Carbondale. They have to stop out. They can work a semester or two. The funds get exhausted. There's no other aid or support. You stop out. You go to work for 18 months. You save a little money. You come back to school, maybe pick up a class or two, lay out a semester. This is how a lot of those men and women go to school.
Yeah, but your graduation rate at SIU is so much higher.
It is.
But what is it? 78?
But the graduation rate is a set figure. It's not whoever graduates within 8, 10, 12 years. It is a federally defined figure based upon a certain time frame. That they graduate within. And if you don't get everybody pushed through in that time frame, then you're seen as
you don't get a win.
Nah, that's right. So Chicago State has a lot of students
four
like
to
that.
4 to 6 years?
Pardon?
4 to 6 years,
federal
government?
That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
You know, the Daily Egyptian newspaper did a straw poll. 78% of faculty saying they are concerned about their job security, according to poll, reflecting the effects of Illinois' ongoing budget stalemate. You look at some of these figures. Are you concerned about your job security in light of the ongoing budget? And 81.2% yes, 18% no. How satisfied are you with your current job? Very, 43.9%, somewhat 50%, and not at all 6%. Some interesting stuff here, but I don't think there's any reason to be surprised by these figures,
right,
other than we see a figure now,
right,
but we both, you and I know, been taking temperatures for a while. We know this.
Right. But it's still
got one of those items that you have to try to massage.
You know, this is another one of these leadership responsibilities, and what you have to do in this circumstance, in this situation. And in fact, it's interesting. I was up at the Edwardsville campus last night, had a couple of events up there, and happened to be talking to some of the folks on campus about how difficult it is to lead through these types of crises, issues, what have you. And I said, part of our responsibility in that role is also to keep everyone from lighting their hair on fire. Back to your analogy of the person still having to fly the plane when the smoke's coming into the cockpit. These universities are still doing important work, graduating students toward commencement here in a few weeks.
May 14th?
Serving the region. And part of the challenge is to just keep that center held so people continue to focus on the core work that we have, keep pushing things forward to get the work that we have done, and not allow ourselves to kind of spin out of control coming up with doomsday scenarios.
Emotionally.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, it's human nature, and I've been through this. I was a school superintendent. You know, back when I was 30 years old, and you have to go in and cut funding and programs there. I've been doing this a long time. Maybe it's my curse. I don't know. But it's a human reaction, and people do get concerned.
There are very few things that make us more unhappy than having an uncertain future.
Losing one's livelihood.
We are a social creature that current happiness is determined by the prospects of the future.
This is like therapy coming here, Tom. When I hear you, it's
good.
I'm getting these great thoughts.
Well, good, and I'm glad I can share.
But they're true. I mean, this is how people deal with these, I'll say, crises in front of them that have this connection to their livelihoods and the life they're trying to build where they happen to be. And we're not going to disappear. This is what I want to make sure everyone knows. We're not disappearing. We're not going to close down or suspend operations. And we're going to protect that core, the academic programs, critical student services. But it's still, when you hear it every day, and, I'm out doing what I do to try to stem the tide of some of the difficulties, you can't help but be concerned about it, and we get it.
Well, with the airplane metaphor, what you're trying to do is there's smoke in the cockpit. I got to keep flying the plane. I want to land it, and I want to get a landing where everybody walks away.
That's right.
Right?
And we will.
And the plane is still functioning. So.
Yeah, and we will. I mean, I'm still maybe more optimistic about this. Patch funding, if that's what happens, that's not the answer. So if we get something that carries us to August or carries us December, I'm still going to be the first one to say, hey, we need a full year budget. But I am appreciative of the fact that I think it's our time to now be seen on the radar. And I will say this, if we can't get something figured out here, and I'm just talking stopgap. If we can't get something figured out, then a shame on everybody's houses, because we've got an existential crisis, as you would describe it, probably with anywhere between 2 and 4 state universities. SIU is not one of them, but there are 2 to 4 state universities right now that may well not make it through summer. And
right.
That's a travesty if that doesn't get addressed.
Absolutely is, but
we'll see.
My first thought is there'll be some more students in the pool that we can recruit here.
Well,
sorry,
we'll
but that's the we will, when you we said will, that, the first thing I thought is that means
well,
a high
we,
figure for us.
We will be ready to go. Now, but here's my problem, Tom. All right. There may be a need. In fact, I could say there is a need to look at tightening the inventory in the state, getting more streamlined, having more efficiencies. Even if that meant pulling down by one institution, lessening the number of institutions, say by 1 or 2 statewide. There's also kind of a parallel or similar discussion about how many specific degrees are needed. Do we need 12 MBAs at the 12 public institutions in Illinois? I don't know if we do or not. My argument is, though, use the tools that we have available to us. The Illinois Board of Higher Education is trying to build its relevancy. And Tom Cross, as you know, has been appointed as the chair of that board.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing, a good sign. Do some study. Undertake analysis. If we need to look at the number of degrees in different fields, how many institutions we have, I'm glad to have us enter into that discussion and be part of that work. You don't do it by default. You don't do it by survival of the fittest. You don't do it by just seeing who falls first. You set up a plan. You set the goals for that plan, do your analysis, make some recommendations, and then say to the legislature, here is what we should do in a kind of rational, planned way if we need to garner some savings out of the higher education function in this state.
Right.
What we're doing now is this kind of Darwinian starve the beast thing, and that's not planning.
Right.
That's not governance.
It's biological,
it's
organic.
It's chaos. Well, yeah.
It's
right.
Not necessarily the right way to go. Quite frankly, I wonder if we should look for other states to fund our education here in Illinois, since that's where our students go to work.
Well, we also...
That was sarcasm.
No. But, you know, there's a... I don't know if it's a corollary, but there's also the case when we can attract other students, and if you look at the locations where SIU is, at least with Carbondale and Edwardsville, we're in a great opportunity to recruit from out of state. And we do. We're a regional institutions in some ways. And we know that nationally, as well as here in Illinois, for an out-of-state kid who comes to Illinois to go to school, we've got close to a 50% chance of keeping that kid, who then grows into adulthood, as a permanent resident contributing to the economy, investing in Illinois businesses and our overall growth. And again, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot for future opportunity, growth, and investment when we then can't make a business case or market ourselves to students in Kentucky or Missouri or Indiana because they're not sure if we're going to be here. That's just, again, a disinvestment approach because we know that we get those kids from those areas to come visit. They will stay, or at least half of them do, and set up lives here in Illinois.
All right. We woke up Monday morning. We saw graffiti on Fainter Hall. Riot proof, we'll see. May 2nd, this group now has increased its profile. They're saying we want a cap on administrative
I was just going to say, they've thrown everything but the kitchen sink into this possible May 2 walkout.
We want the coal research done away with. This whole thing. What are your concerns? What can you tell us about this? We only have a couple of moments left, Randy.
I can tell you probably about as much as what you're reading and finding out. Of course, you know, we're not the Gestapo. We don't go out and try to, you know, do a great deal in figuring out who's behind this or what's going on. This is America, and these folks have a right to organize.
But I interpreted this as a threat. I did.
You know,
as a friendly,
you know,
riot
Tom,
proof,
you got to
we'll
remember,
see,
life at the university is not like life
different
in the real world,
you're exactly
right?
Right?
I mean, it is kind of a world unto itself. So you have to remember that. Our challenge, though, is to ensure that we're prepared for whatever may take place on May 2nd. And I'm not talking about a militarization of the SIU police or anything like that. But we will be prepared, depending upon what plays out, to ensure safety and security is ensured, that the arterials through the campus are open, that there's no destruction of our property, that we have a means to make sure everybody can take care of themselves in a good way. And then, you know, what happens from there, of course, we'll continue to monitor. I've been following the blogs and the postings and
right,
all of that in regard to the May 2 thing. They've gotten themselves, and again, we may or may not have the organizers here listening. Who knows? They've gotten themselves too widespread. They've if they wanted to focus on funding and really, you know, make sure that was the message, then, you know, go after that. If they want to protest the coal research we do and the funding that we receive, which is sizable, through the Advanced Coal Research Center, fine, they can do a protest. If they don't like how we handle environmental issues, fine. If they want to get rid of the number of administrators, fine. Right now, everything's gotten dumped in here, which means it has no focus, and will be whatever gathering it is, because it's everything. And when you try to do everything, you do nothing.
Never a truer word said ever, I can tell you, because I tried the everything thing. And it was
all of us have at different times.
There's an old saying, about if you don't want to be annoyed in your life, don't try to teach pigs how to sing, because pigs don't sing and it just annoys you. Right?
That's right.
And I get that. That's how I look at that, doing too many things, like teaching a pig how to sing. All you end up is annoyed, and the pig's mad at you, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, we'll be ready for it, and we understand. I mean, we have passionate people on the campus, and it's good that we do. There are a few of us old-timers that are actually, in a way, kind of enjoying seeing... Not necessarily riotous marches, right? We haven't had that. But a passion for some social causes. Because there was a time on campuses and I was working on them where that really didn't.
The word you're looking for is narcissism.
Oh, I'm not going to go there now, Tom.
We all have it.
At least there's passion for social concerns, and people are getting in front of them, and kind of speaking truth to power. I'm sure is the way they see it. That's okay.
Right.
That's okay.
Rise up.
Just do it orderly.
8:43, 17 before the hour. SIU President Randy Dunn. Thanks for your time, pal.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.